This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out again, coming down the road, bringing a message here and there and yonder where folks will stand around and listen. But we're studying now the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It's been a gracious study up until now. I've learned much myself, and I hope you have. And if you would, pray for the old Trailblazer, the Lord to give us insight into these verses of Scripture. And we've come down now after the death of Joseph, and we're going to look at the faith of Moses' mother and father. Here was a home down in Egypt. We had been looking at Joseph, but there's a considerable length of time between the death of Joseph and the birth of Moses. I don't know how long it was. Many a year seemed like in there between the death of Joseph and the birth of Moses. A great revolution had taken place in the land of Egypt, especially in the relationship of the Egyptians and the Hebrews. Oh, my friend, it had changed. That relationship had changed. That revolution had so changed that from one of kindness towards the Jews under Pharaoh who knew Joseph to now one of oppression, because the Jews had multiplied so rapidly that there came on the throne one who knew not Joseph. Therefore, they were afraid of the Jews. They began to oppress them and to use means to do away with them. Now, you'll find that in the first and second chapters of Exodus. I hope you went there and read that since our last study. If you haven't, go there now and read the first two or three chapters of Exodus. The Egyptians began to fear the Jews, and so they laid their plans and took steps to ultimately do away with them. And that was that they would kill all the boy babies. Now, my friend, who else was that? Was that Herod attempted to do that thing? It didn't work, did it? Well, it's not going to work here. But let's look. The king gave a command to kill all the boy babies that were born in Egypt. He knew in times the women, the Jewish women, would ultimately marry Egyptian men, and therefore bring about amalgamation of those two races that had stayed separated for all of these years and while they were there. And now, that's one thing about the Jewish nation. All through the centuries as a whole, they've stayed separated. They talk about segregation. Listen, they have it, don't they? And one of the things that the Lord did back there in the early days when the Jewish men would marry into the heathen families, heathen women, the Lord always punished them. He did. He punished them, my friend. They were slain. They were killed by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands. And I've often said we had the most integrated and segregated congregation here that I've ever met in my life. Integrated, I think. We had 8 or 10 nationalities here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle back there many years ago when I came there back in the early 50s. But listen, there was only two classes, those who were saved, those who wanted to be saved. It's still that way, my friend. I have folks ask me, you have so-and-so going to your church? Yes, sir. I sure do. You have these coming to your church? Yes, sir, we sure do. But listen, now, you can put it down. If the gospel is preached, it'll do two things. And I want you to get this. First, it'll integrate your church. It will. It'll draw people from every class, every race, every creed. It will segregate them in that only those who love the gospel will listen to the gospel and want to be saved with fellowship with a bunch of old sinners like us. Now, that's it. Listen, you needn't be afraid of anything else if you will preach the gospel. If the gospel is preached, you need be afraid. The Lord will work all that time. Now, during this time of oppression back there in Egypt, there lived a family by the name of Amram and Jochebed there in the house or there in the land of Goshen. And there was born to this family a baby boy. Now, as we said, we want to get this. The commandment of the king was to put them to death. Put those babies to death, my friend. Does that make you think? Now, what did old Amram and Jochebed do? They hid this baby for 3 months. They put it away for 3 months. They kept it in their home. They didn't let it go outside. They didn't take it outside in the cool of the evening. Now, that leads me to believe that the authorities probably made an investigation about every 3 months. Seemed like maybe every 3 or 4 months they would send folks around to see if there was any new babies. And they timed it. From the time that baby was born until they made their next investigation. They kept that baby hid in their home. Then, when they knew the time for investigation had come, they built an ark, or a little boat, out of bulrushes, and they pitched it within and without. You remember that story where the Lord told Noah, when he was building the ark, to pitch it within and without? Do you know, I've heard tell, the old trailblazers are not very smart. I've heard it said, or other writers who knew, that that word is like an atonement. It was covered, but they pitched it. Noah and his boys pitched that ark inside and out. We know what pitch is, don't we?
Sure.
Stops up cracks, and it's a lot different today than it was back then. But they had pitched that little ark, and they built it out of bulrushes. That's something that grows in the water. And they wove it together, and then they pitched it, and they put it out there in a river called the Nile, where the crocodiles were. Can you imagine that, my friend? In that little basket, that little ark, built an ark that floated and carried that baby and set a watch over the baby. Oh, my friend, Moses had an older sister, you remember? Now, that is a strange thing. One expression in that scripture that I want you to notice. I want you to take special notice. In connection with it, turn there to Acts, I believe it's 7:20, and let's read that in connection with this. I want to show you something that's thrilled my heart. Now, here was Stephen preaching that sermon before the Sanhedrin court, and he said in that 20th verse, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. Now, over there in Hebrews, it's translated, he was a proper child. And here in Acts, it says, exceeding fair. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us this. It tells me that it was indicated to the parents of Moses that this is my child, says the Lord God of heaven. That word exceeding fair can be translated that it's fair unto God, or someone who has translated beautiful unto the Lord. Beautiful unto the Lord. Let's just look there. Now, if you go out there to the average commentary, and you will find the average comment here is that the child was beautiful to the parents. They loved it, and therefore they hid it. Now, that's not according to God's word. That isn't what it means at all. It means go back and look. Look at the first verse there. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. Now, there's the secret of the verse. If you understand that exceeding fair means he was a child beautiful unto the Lord, then go back to the first there, and they said, by faith, Moses. Oh, my friend, God's word is not hard to understand, is it? All right. What is the basis of faith? What is the foundation of faith? Can you tell me? What was the foundation of faith? The Word of God. The Word of God. Think with me now. Don't get lost. The foundation of faith is the Word of God. All right. If that child was a beautiful child and the parents loved him and that's the reason they hid him, that has no foundation of faith. You see, that's a foundation. There's no foundation of faith there. Faith is not built on emotion. Faith is not built on feelings, yours or mine. Faith is rest and is built upon the Word of God. All right, now, if that's so, then what does that expression mean? It means this, and you have to come to this one conclusion, that by special revelation, God had made known unto these parents that this child was going to be the leader and deliverance of the Hebrews from the Egyptian bondage. Now, that's the only way you can understand it. And they acted. That's why they acted. By special revelation, God made known unto Moses, mother and father, that this is my leader. This is my chosen one. And that was the Word of God. They acted upon it. They believed him. Therefore, in believing God's word, they denied or defied the king's order. And that's the only way they could do it. Now, the only way you and I can do it, you and I are only... Listen, you and I can't defy the world unless we have a basis on which to rest our faith. Now, may the Spirit of the living God drive that thing home to our hearts this morning, that the only way we can defy the world is to base on the Word of God. This child was beautiful. Beautiful child unto the Lord. It was God's elect child. It was God's elect leader. It was God's elect deliverer. And he made that known to those parents. And what happened? They believed. They believed. And how? Now how? There's another basis on which they could believe that thing. It was getting close to the time when the Jews were to leave Egypt. You see, go back there in the 15th chapter of Genesis, and you'll find a covenant made with Abraham that his seed would be down in Egypt 430 years. And from that time, it would be 430 years from the time the revelation came to Abraham until they would leave Egypt. Did you know this? The scriptures are so interesting, aren't they? Those dates and times, they right down to the very time. All right, time was getting close. Time was getting near. It was 80 years from the birth of Moses until they would start out of the land of Egypt. And having that promise of the covenant, they believed that covenant. They believed that they were going out. Then God, by special revelation, made known unto them, here's my leader. Oh, my friend, isn't that grace? Here's my man. Here's a man, you folks. Here's my man. They couldn't understand everything that was going to happen. They didn't know that Moses would be taken into the camp of Pharaoh, into the house of Pharaoh, and taught there 40 years under the leadership of all of those folks, learned the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of Pharaoh's court. And then, after having slain one of the Egyptians, was forced out of there and stayed in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years, and married and raised herded sheep out there for his father-in-law. These folks didn't know all that. They believed, though, by grace. Their faith, well, they acted upon those things. And that's what we have to do. The Lord said we're saved by grace through faith. Oh, my friend, can't you just believe God's word? My sinner friend, you out there who are struggling hard with sin, can't you just believe God's word? He says, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. He said that whosoever believeth on the Son of God shall never perish. My friend, what is your hope? Is it the worldly church, or is it the Pope or something like that? No, my hope is Christ. Christ Jesus. Christ died for me. Nobody else didn't die for the old trailblazer. Trailblazer can't do anything. No, I could dip soup for 40 years on a soup line at Christmas time or Thanksgiving time. That won't help you. No, those things may be well and good in their place, but salvation is of the Lord, wholly, solely, and completely of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, we have to look to Him. You say, how do you get saved, Pastor? Look into Christ. Read the scriptures, and you see the picture there of how the Lord died. And believe God's word. Believe God's word, and trust the Lord. You tremble and shake many times, old Trailblazer does. But I know the basis of my foundation of faith is the Word of God. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That's what the old Trailblazer did. And he showed me that Christ paid his sinner's sin debt. Old trifling sinner like me. I wish you would remember my mailing address and help me with the broadcast if you could. So, old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. Some folks say I go too fast. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Go there and you can look up much material on the old Trailblazer, on the Voice of Truth broadcast, the archives there of sermons that we have on the schedule there. So until next time, goodbye and God bless you.